The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
In Genesis 22:18, God said to Abraham, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." I believe the Old Testament can best be summed up in this statement, a preservation of Abraham's seed so that Christ can come. And through the meandering, difficult scenes of Old Testament history, God has a difficult time preserving even a remnant of Abraham's seed from annihilation and extinction because of their own sin. But in Galatians 3:16 in the New Testament, Paul quotes Genesis 22:18 and says, "And to Abraham's seed, which is Christ." In the book of Exodus, coming from the word which means the departure, showing that God's people had departed from Egyptian bondage, headed toward the promised land given to Abraham's seed, Genesis chapter 15. When they come to Mount Sinai, Exodus 20, verses 1 to 3, forms the prologue of the Ten Commandments, which God said, "I've given unto those that are led out of Egypt out of the house of bondage." Thus, this was specifically, exclusively given to the Jews, to Abraham's seed. He said, "I, Jehovah thy God, am a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And yet, as Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the tables of law, the very first commandment was being violated and broken by Aaron's golden calf. God had a difficult time with a difficult, rebellious people who were always on the verge back into bondage and captivity. But he is a jealous God and will brook no rival for his affections. In Leviticus 11:44, we have the thesis of that priestly book of worship. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Had there not been the purification rites, and that which pointed to the shedding of the blood of Christ, Hebrews 10:1-12, there would have been no way for the people of God to be counted holy and pure. In 1 Peter 1:16 in the New Testament, in speaking of God's holy people, those peculiarly his own possession, this verse is quoted, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And certainly a dimension that we must not overlook, even in the church today, is purity of life, holiness of purpose. In Numbers 32:23, in a book which recaptures for us the wilderness wanderings of God's people in Old Testament days, wandering 40 years because of the sin of the people, going around in circles on the verge of the promised land, God's spokesman says, Numbers 32:23, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Paul says in the New Testament counterpart, "God is not mocked, be not deceived, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap." Yes, be sure your sin will find you out. And that's why Abraham's seed wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, because of sin. In Deuteronomy 30:15, and the word Deuteronomy means the law one more time, the law restated, a recapitulation, the Pentateuch, the books of law restated, recaptured. God says in Deuteronomy 30:15, "See, I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil." Man is a creature of choice, and of his own voluntary will, he can decide whether he'll serve God or man. In Joshua 24:15, at the end of a brilliant career, the valiant unsung hero Joshua, at the age of 110, gives his farewell address, his last will and testament to Abraham's seed. They've been in the land of promise for 50 years in the conquest of Canaan by the powerful leadership of Joshua. And this aged man, in a brilliant speech, perhaps the most wonderful human speech in the Old Testament, says, "Choose you this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve Jehovah." What a valiant leadership Joshua had. But when he died, no one of his stature would arise until Samuel, 300 years later. In Judges, the book that describes the decline and fall of Abraham's seed, the weakest period in their existence, in Judges 21:25, we read what the problem was. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know, when everybody does his own thing instead of the Lord's will, Matthew 26:42, the world's in trouble. And that explains the chaotic ruin of America and the nations today. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. But Jeremiah 10:23 says, "The way of man is not in himself, It is not a man that walketh to direct his own steps. The book of Ruth is a sweet book. It has to do with the genealogy of David and of Christ. And Ruth, the Moabitish woman, one outside of Abraham's seed, becomes a very wonderful person in the genealogy of our Lord. Says to Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." She wisely chose the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and became a very wonderful part of the strain of Abraham's seed. In 1 Samuel 15:22, we have the immortal words of Samuel to the disobedient King Saul. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And obedience has always been on the top of the list in God's divine economy. The people who say, "I didn't obey, but I love the Lord, and I don't believe in all that legalism and obeying commands," ought to remember this statement of 1 Samuel 15:22. It echoes the sentiment in the New Testament of 1 John 5:3. "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." 2 Samuel is a book that tells of the decline of David. And yet in 2 Samuel 24:24, we have the wonderful, challenging words of David, "I will not give unto the Lord that which cost me nothing." He would not allow another man to supply his sacrifice before God. David wanted to serve God himself personally, sacrificially. "I will not give unto the Lord that which cost me nothing." And though David made many blunders, sinned grievously, he was so penitent, as Psalm 51 says. And once God called him a man after my own heart, 1 Samuel 13. In 1 Kings 18:21, from the bristling brow of Mount Carmel, we have the utterance of Elijah the prophet, who has just defeated 450 prophets of Baal, and the one who sent them as emissaries, Queen Jezebel. "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." Absolute commitment to God has always been the cry, the earmark of godly service. The idea of sitting on the fence, hesitating, procrastinating, waiting to make up our minds is not Bible talk. We need to decide for God or man now. In 2 Kings 20, verse 1, the brilliant prophet Isaiah said to the king Hezekiah, "Set your house in order, for ye shall die and not live." And though Hezekiah was given 15 years of extended life, he misused the years God gave him. He needed to set his house in order, for he would die and not live. And all of us as parents need to do the same thing. We need to be sure that we train our beloved children in the way they should go, Proverbs 22:6. "For children are an heritage of the Lord," Psalm 127:3. "Set your house in order, for ye shall," reminds us of our responsibility to be the parents that we ought to be in this old wicked world.